Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Chris Daniels.
You all right?
Yeah.
I just want to declare in front of you all, because I love God, I just want to say, Jesus, you are the music in me. Amen. Amen. Yeah. It's a salient point. Some of you know what I mean. Some of you don't. But Jesus is the music in me. Amen. Amen. Great. Hey, look, apparently there's some kind of credit crunch thing going on. So I thought what we'll do today is you'll have like two messages. It's like buy one, get one free. So if that's okay, we'll crack on. Because, you know, over the next hour and a half, I want to get a few points over to you. And are you ready?
Yeah!
He was born ready.
He was born ready, he was. Great, great. Hey, I was listening the other day to one of these Bill Johnson messages. And at the beginning of his messages, he always gives testimonies. And whenever he's giving a testimony of heaven invading earth, God doing something incredible in someone's life, the congregation goes wild. Yeah. You can hear them. And the Holy Spirit kind of whispered something to me and he said, you know, that's one of the keys to how they get so many breakthroughs.
That's right.
Is like outlandish, up for it, mad for it, gratitude.
Yeah.
So I've got a quick three-point sermon for you. This is the quickest three-point sermon ever, possibly. then I'll get onto the free one. But first of all, first point, if you want to have a breakthrough with God, if we want to see the supernatural coming more, if we want to see heaven invading earth like we've been praying for years, first of all, appreciate. Second, be thankful. Third, cultivate an attitude of gratitude. I'm sure I've nicked that one from a book. There you go. Right, should we have coffee? Come on, say it with me. Appreciate. Be thankful. Cultivate an attitude of gratitude. Easy. I tell you what, when we have testimonies and God does something, and you know, sometimes God does something big and it's kind of like, it's awesome when he does it, but you kind of expect a great big God to do a great big thing. So when the eyes open and someone gets out of a wheelchair and someone gets a new liver or kidney or whatever it is, and you know, that's great. But even when the incredibly enormous, powerful God does something minute, even the headache, isn't it awesome sometimes when you get a headache and you can just declare, the Lord is the strength of my mind, the Lord is the strength of my... And within minutes it can go. And the Lord of heaven, the creator of all things, is whipped out. Not so little Chrissy's headache. I mean, that's just awesome. When a big God does little things. And we all have stories. And I think, you know, we don't give a lot of time to testimony. Maybe you ought to sometimes. But usually it's best if the pastor gives the testimony. Because when we give testimonies, we tend to start, well, I was born in 90, you know. And finally, I finally got healed, you know. But you've been there, haven't you? You know what I'm talking about. Oh, boy. I love baptisms, you know, they can take all day, can't they, to baptise three people, you know. I was a gun runner for the Contras, you know, and then I became a Christian and I go to prayer meetings now. But when people are giving testimonies, we should be really like, yay, God, come on, this is awesome, you know. And I think we really know how to praise in a praise session. And probably most of us here in our lives have learnt or are learning to be grateful for certain things in our lives. But actually, in this context, when someone's sharing a testimony, we're on our feet. Come on, Lord. Yeah, yeah. Someone was ill and something physically changed because of the spiritual realm and what Jesus did 2,000 years. Something changed in their lives physically and that cancer is no longer there. That's like... Do you remember the holy hum? Someone give him the testimony, and then he became a Christian. Oh, come on, you know what I mean? So come on, let's say appreciate, be grateful, and let's cultivate an attitude of gratitude. Excellent. Right, we're on to the free one now. Joshua chapter 1. That's near the beginning, but not that near. It's very near the beginning of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. And I'm going to look it up at the same speed. You hate it when we have like little markies and we're ready to go. You're like, whoa. Is that the Old or the New Testament, you know? It's like, I just want to read a couple of scriptures from here. This is right at the beginning. Moses is dead. Joshua's like, oh, heck, I've just got the job. And the Lord shows up and says, right, I've got some things to tell you here. And where are we? Verse 3. I'm reading from the New Living because it's nice and easy and I get it. I promise you what I promised Moses. Everywhere you go, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev desert in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north. From the Euphrates River on the east to the Mediterranean Sea on the west. And all the land of the Hittites, which I couldn't find where that was. But never mind, it must be local to there. Now, what on earth is this bit of geography got to do with anything? Well, those of you that have studied the Bible a little bit, how many of you know that Israel never stretched to the Euphrates? It never stretched as far into Lebanon as the Lebanon mountains. I mean, they're quite in the north. I looked it up, so I know. There's some other mountains in the middle, and there's the North Lebanon Mount, or the Lebanon Mountains, aren't there? Nod, please. And and then it's sort of almost up to Turkey, I think, aren't you then, or something like that? I don't know. Yeah, Turkey sounds good. So actually, the land that God promised to Joshua was at least twice as big as the land they ever walked in. I just read that and I read, wow. They never got as far as North Lebanon. Beirut could have been an Israeli town. Damascus could have been. Where's the Euphrates? It's actually over halfway into modern day Iraq. So what God had promised the people of Israel was actually what is now Israel, what is now Lebanon, what is now Jordan, what is now Syria, and what is now half of Iraq. Can you imagine how many problems could have been avoided? If they'd only walked in the promises that God had first given to them. Uh-oh. I wonder how much we could avoid if we walked in the fullness of the promise that God has got for us. I'm not talking about new promises. I mean, we're always finding them. Some people say there's 30,000 promises in the Bible. They must have the Amplified. Some people say there's 9,000, you know. I mean, there's a lot of promises. I mean, I think one promise from God, the way we've treated him in the past, one promise from God would have been pretty generous. But he's given us tons. And can you imagine what our lives would be, what would look like, and what our future destiny would look like if we walked in what has already been given to us and what has already been promised? Anybody there? Yes. You know, I mean, wow. Challenge number one, hey? Let's not do a whole people of Israel thing. Let's walk in the fullness of what God has got for us, hey? Let's not hold back. I mean, the relationship that he... Just the love of God. The height, the depth, the width, the length of the love of God. I mean, Paul says that we need power to understand just his love. But he's given us the power, and he's taught us to pray for the power to understand his love. Let's do it, eh? Let's just do that thing. Never mind the faith of God, the healing, the power of God, the fear of God, all these awesome things that are all promised, the wisdom. They're all been promised, and we're walking in them all. No, we will be. Are you happy?
Yes.
You were listening last week, that's good. Let's just recap. Appreciate. Be thankful, cultivate an attitude of gratitude. Right, so we haven't lost the first thing in the basket. That's good. Let's go to Joshua chapter 6 then. Now, we know what's happened here. Well, a lot of us do. I know one or two, probably maybe a few of us don't. But the people of Israel have come out of Egypt. If you've seen the Prince of Egypt, you know what happened. Okay? And they're marching around the desert for 40 years. They've beaten at the Red Sea, the Egyptian army. They've beaten a couple of armies, I think, in the desert over the 50 years. And now it's time to enter into their promises, into the promised land. A lot of Christians do that. They come out of being saved, you know, they get saved, and they just wander around for years wondering what on earth is it all about. And there's a promised land somewhere, there's promises somewhere, but I can't find them. Well, ask somebody if that's you, okay, because the promises of God are great. But and they bring life in all its fullness. I'm not living life in all its fullness. Well, hey, keep listening. Okay, so you're wandering around, and then you come to the, right, hey, we're all built up. Joshua has just given us this great talk about how we can go into the land and go all the way over to Iraq and all this, that, and the other. And then they come up to this humongous, great fortified city. Absolutely massive is Jericho. How are we going to do this? Well, God's got a plan. We know that. But I just want to show you, because most of you know the story. I want to show you one verse. Verse 1. Now, the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed in or out. That's a really interesting verse to me. A, because I need to get out more. And two, because... and B, because it wasn't a massive fortified thing. It was massive and fortified, but they weren't mighty. They were terrified. And what the Lord showed me one day, what he wants me to show you today, is, you know, out there, that mystical Christian place called out there, or on the streets, or these other places, it looks like the enemy's really fortifying himself. It, you know, with the rise of Islam and all the gay theists saying this, that, and the other, and all these other different things going on, and the rise of the amount of sin and stuff like that, and the bombings and the wars and all these things, it looks like the enemy's really strong. It looks like the enemy's really fortified against us. And how are we going to manage this? Well, God's got a strategy for us to walk around it until the thing that holds it all together crumbles and all falls. You know? He knows. We just follow. Sometimes it feels like you're walking around in circles. Well, try it around Jericho with that lot. Sometimes walking around in circles is what God wants, and sometimes it isn't. There's no formula, just listen and follow. But you see, the enemy's terrified, because the enemy's read the end of the book. I mean, if Satan didn't want Jesus to be crucified, you can bet your bottom dollar he doesn't want Jesus to come back. No. He doesn't want any kind of worldwide revival going on. You can bet your bottom dollar that, like the guys in Jericho who had heard about the Israelites, they had 40 years to make Jericho big and strong because they knew what was coming their way. They had time to prepare. So is the enemy. But we've got a God who's bigger. We've got a God who's stronger and wiser, and he knows how to do it. And it just took a week. I mean, if you know anything about ancient and medieval history, sieges went on for months. Actually, I mean, I've just thought of that now, actually. That's for free as well. That's like the chocolate at the counter, you know. Just shove it in, don't tell Claire, you know. Sieges back then took ages. And this was done and dusted in 7 days. That's not bad for a group of people that were nomads and had never done a siege in their lives. Hey, look, we're going to be facing stuff we've never faced in our lives. We've got challenges today we've never faced before. But you know what? I've got a God. You know that God we were singing about? You ever realize this when you're worshipping? That all those words is in you? I mean, all those words. I mean, how awesome is God that we've been singing about today? He lives in me. Have a suspicion he lives in you. Yeah. Hey, come on. Oh, yeah. Come on. Let's look at these things in a different way, hey? Yeah, okay, it looks impossible. You know, when Jesus says the impossible, he rubs his hands. Excellent, I can show off again. Probably doesn't say it like that. But he might. In the Hebrew. So, you know, let's just change the way we look at these things, hey? I think sometimes the way we perceive what's going on around us, and there are prophetic magazines and newsletters that fly saying, oh, it's all terrible now. How are we going to raise a tithe now the credit crunch is here? Well, by trusting God as normal.
Amen. Yes, amen. Come on.
You know, I lived through this in the 70s. All that's happening now, it's just pruning. It's like the whole retail bush got out of control. And it's just getting pruned back, and it'll grow back strong in a few years. And we can go back to Next and Woolies and all these others, you know, maybe not, but you know what I mean. But it'll all be all right. It'll just take a year or two, and we'll be fine. I mean, in the meantime, we're just going to carry on as normal. Maybe be a bit more wise here and there if we've got a bit sloppy with our money. But it's because we got sloppy with our money. We can live within our means, can't we? I'm on a rotten wage. And I'm living within mine, I think. You know, yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm at the front with the most. I am responsible. Yeah. Anyway, I'll tell you what we could do here. We could just recap. Appreciate. Be thankful. Cultivate an attitude of gratitude. God, it's just so Anglican. It's great. Hey, let's flick over to 1 Samuel, which is usually just before 2 Samuel. And chapter 18. That's interesting. Because I put 49 to 51 and it only goes up to 30. This is the very amplified. Right, okay, we're going back over a chapter, 17. Okay, 17. And it is those, yeah, I got the wrong chapter number. Okay, so we know what's happening here, but just to, not recap, but just to go through what's happening. King Saul and the Israelites are going to have a war or a battle with the Philistines. It happens every year, it's just what they do back then, you know. And it was just that sort of brutal time, wasn't it, when everyone had to fight each other and try and gain a bit of ground or whatever. And out of the Philistines had come this huge guy called Goliath. Now, my theory is he's only about 6'7". But you know, like, when I last, you know, I caught a fish, it was this big. And then by the time you get back to the end of the night at the pub, it's like, this big I caught, you know. Well, I think, you know, it says in the Bible, every day for 30 days, the Israelites went out and looked at Goliath. And I think he just got bigger every day. So the guy writing, he said, he's 9 foot, was he? You know. He's an enormous guy. He was huge. We couldn't fight him. No, we've got to justify ourselves, haven't we? You know. But he was a big, powerful guy who could have whopped anybody on the Philistines or on the Israelite side. And every day, they looked at their challenge. They looked at their problem. And it got a bit bigger and a bit bigger every single day. And in the end, it was just like, no way, Jose. Not going there, you know. And then David shows up on that 30th day with, you know, some pack-up for his brothers. And they've got to be, you know, culturally relevant here. And brought his pack-up for the local, for his brothers and stuff. And they said, thanks, it's mint. And he found out what was going on, and he went out, and he says, well, I'm going to take this guy on. Now, what killed Goliath? We all know this story. Come on. What killed him? The stone. The stone. I knew you'd say that. You know it's wrong. Oh, Martin's been really spiritual down here. Faith killed him. See, we always stop reading before the end of the story. Once Goliath's down, we give up on the story. And it gets even more bloody after that. It's great. So, let's go into, again, reading from the New Living, because I can understand it. As Goliath moved closer to attack, it was exciting. David quickly ran out to meet him. Reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking a stone, he hurled it from his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in. Oh, that's great. I think what was going to happen is he had five smooth stones. So he's going to try and make him look like Vivian from The Young Ones, you know, with stones on the front. The stone sank in and Goliath stumbled and fell face downward to the ground. Which I'm sure you could make a point out of that. So David triumphed over the Philistine giant with only a stone and sling. And since he had no sword, he ran over and pulled Goliath's sword, which, you know, would have been a sword, wouldn't it? You know, and he killed him right in the heart. Had to be. It's great. It's graphic, but it's good. And then chopped his head off. If you go down to verse 54, he then took the head of the giant, which would have been a giant head. And he took it to Jerusalem. I don't know if there was a market for that sort of thing in Jerusalem or what. Don't know, or nip home and get it on eBay or what, I don't know. But you know, we always stop at the story, don't we? See, no one wanted to answer because it's bound to be a trick question, wasn't it? But we always stop the story with the challenge or the problem just unconscious. And yet after that, David killed him. And just to make sure he was dead, he killed him again. And then removed the head as far apart away from the body as he could, just in case some kind of head stitching on experts had been remembered and brought from Gath, you know. Which is highly unlikely. But what I'm saying is, in this, is that he made sure. I thought of a nice little line there, wasn't it? Yeah. David was relentless in his pursuit of victory. He was relentless in his pursuit of the breakthrough. And how many times do we face that? We get the walls crumbling down. And whatever it is, we've got that victory. And we just leave it there. And then a year later, we're struggling with the same thing again. If we took that spirit of David, the way David did things, which is always usually a good thing to do. But if you just took that, it's actually, I'm going to be relentless now. And when I slay a giant in my life, I'm not just going to knock it unconscious. I'm going to kill it and I'm going to chop its head off. And I'm going to chop its legs off so it can't run after me to get this head back or whatever, you know. Maybe it's gruesome those days, weren't they, you know. But I'm going to be relentless. I'm not just going to win a victory. I'm going to make sure I've won the victory. I mean, what happened there was it was a war. It wasn't a war between David and Goliath. It was between the Israelites and the Philistines. And the Israelites chased the Philistines down and then came back to loot the camp. They didn't just do the camp. They went all the way back to the two cities that the Philistines lived in. They did the job then. They were a little more encouraged at that point. I bet David's older brother could be like, right, I'm going to get some now because my little squirt brother can do it with a stone. Oh, I'm in there, you know. Not going to be outdone. But, you know, I mean, wow, you know, let's not just break through this year. Let's break through. I mean, as a church together, but individually, and we all get the breakthroughs we need and we all get the victories we need. Hey, let's just... Hey. I know, let's recap. Appreciate. It's tricky. Be thankful. Cultivate an attitude. Gratitude. Awesome, awesome. Hallelujah. You know, this year, I'm resolving to know as much of God as I can. This year, I will walk in as many of the promises as I can. I'll tell you what, let's stand. I'm going to read these bits out and you can just read them back to me. Not read them back, but say them back to me, yeah? Are you ready to declare?
Yes.
I know you're looking at the clock and thinking, what? But are you ready to declare?
Yes.
Miracles can happen.
Yes.
What's going on? This year I will resolve.
This year I will resolve.
to know as much of God as I can. This year I will walk in as many of the promises as I can. This year I will overcome what looks impossible. And set my face like flint, to win the unwinnable. This year I will appreciate. Be thankful. And cultivate an attitude of gratitude. This year I will satisfy. My craving for the supernatural. This year I will run the race set before me. And win the prize of my life. This year all I want is you, Jesus. I'm just going to play a nice, quiet, meditative track. I just want you to meet with God and just stir your spirit up as you listen to it. Join in if you can. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.